What a joy it is to be here on Christmas Sunday and to celebrate together the marvel, the wonder of the story of Jesus. As I said earlier, I enjoyed so much this week, and especially watching the children as they react to the Christmas story. And boy, kids have a great imagination, and they are able to pretend. And it's just so neat to see them as they imagine what it was like and talk about parts of the story. All throughout the Christmas story, we see and we hear of a powerful God that does incredible things. And I think for children, as they think about each of the people in the story, it's just it's an incredible thing to see them develop in their understanding and their faith. And people of all ages can have faith, and it's so neat to see the faith of a child as they develop. Well, we sung a few minutes ago about the names of Jesus and how precious they are. And this morning, as we think about the Christmas story, I just want us to kind of go back and look at some of these names and look at what this wonderful baby is called. Number one, we think of his name is Jesus. And as we think about the name Jesus itself, we know that Jesus means to deliver, to set free, to rescue, to save. And the name Jesus means the saving power of God. And so as we think about who Jesus is, we're reminded that he is the one who is the Savior of the world. He is the one that can deliver us from a life and a heart of sin. And he's the one that brings us the gift of eternal life. And it's only through believing in the name of Jesus, in Jesus himself, that we have life everlasting, that we have the presence of God in this life, and we have the promise of being with God for all of eternity, because he is our Savior. And so when we think of who Jesus is, and he's named throughout the Old Testament in the prophecy and in the New Testament and the story and the Christmas story, we're reminded of the importance that he is our Savior. He is the one that we're to look to. He is the one that can help us. He is our wonderful Savior. He's also our Messiah. He is our Christ. We think of the name of Jesus, I think of the name of Jesus Christ, and it means more than just a first name and a last name, that Christ is the fulfillment of all that God has done in history and eternity for man. The fulfillment of God's amazing plan from all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, when we read about the Word was with God and the Word was God. All the way back in the beginning, Jesus was the one that God had planned to use all through eternity to bring us salvation. He is our Messiah. He is our Christ. And he's also something very personal and something connected very individually to us. Jesus Christ is our Lord. And when we make him the Lord of our lives, we choose a relationship. We choose to ask Jesus to be in a relationship in our hearts and in our spirits, where we will honor him and we will give him the place that he is worthy of in our lives. When we call Jesus Lord, we're saying, we want you to be in charge. We want you to be the one that we are looking toward, and we are following, and we are giving ourselves and our lives to. We have a great privilege to have a Savior, and he is our Messiah, but even more importantly, that he is our Lord, and we choose to make him the Lord of our lives. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and when he came to be with us, he came to be in a relationship with us. He is the Son of God. He is God himself. Jesus is the exact replica as the Father, and when Jesus came to give us life, he came to show us an amazing heart of God, an amazing, powerful, loving, divine God himself. He is Emmanuel. He is with us. So we celebrate today the names of Jesus. We celebrate the gift and the person of who he is. That when we think of Jesus, there's all these ways that we remember the amazing person of who Jesus is. We celebrate the wonder. In our scripture I read earlier with the children up there, we celebrate the wonder of the angels coming to the shepherds and what it must have been like on that first Christmas. Can you imagine what it was like when that shepherd first saw the first angel in the sky and probably began to shake and begin to wonder what this could possibly be? And then the angel gave the message. And then after that message, it said that there were many heavenly angels that were there. I just imagine what it was like when the angels came and they brought this news to the shepherds that were there, how they were watching and listening and waiting. I think I had one more picture up of a little boy from this past week, and his name is Peyton, and it's actually Connie's grandson. And Peyton carried the star in one of the stories as we went around and followed the star, and Peyton, I knew, wanted to have a role, and earlier I had asked for an innkeeper, and Peyton had kind of jumped up and said, me, and I said, okay, you'll be our innkeeper, but the boy beside him thought I was calling on him, so he got up too. So now we had two boys who wanted to be the innkeeper, and so I called Peyton over, and I said, Peyton, I have such an important job for you. I said, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to carry the star. Oh, yeah, he wanted to carry the star, so Peyton carried the star, and he has it there in his hand. That star was bigger than him, I think, just about. But as I watched Peyton, and I just saw in his eyes the excitement and the joy of listening and watching and the wonder of what it was like to find baby Jesus, I was reminded again of how children lead us and how we can watch in a child their joy and their excitement and how they are pretending and imagining, and they're putting themselves in that place where the story is. And I think what an opportunity we have today to put ourselves in the story of when the angels came down, in the story of what it was really like 2,000 and some years ago when the angels came and lit up the sky. And those shepherds were amazed and they marveled at what they saw and how they were watching and listening, and they were repeating the story. They were going to watch and see what they had been heard and told. And then when they left, how the shepherds went and they told everything that they had heard and seen, and how we have that same opportunity to give thanks to Jesus today with the excitement to enter into the story. It is such good news of great joy. The news of Jesus coming was described by the angels. Good news of great joy, and what each of those words mean to us. Good news in a hurting and a broken world. Good news where life is good sometimes and life is not good sometimes. But God is there, and he gives us good news of great joy. He sends us a Savior to give us joy and the wonder of that. The angel said, it is for all the people. He says here, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That's us. Every single one of us today have the opportunity to connect to the great news, to the great joy that God has for us. It is a story of incredible joy. As each person gathered in to see and experience the wonder of the birth of Jesus and the story, each one of them had a way to build their faith and make their choices to believe in who Jesus is. Each in their own way to believe, to embrace the baby Jesus. There was also incredible worship. Can you imagine what the worship was like as those shepherds came and in their humility and in their surprise and their shock to be able to come and to behold such a thing. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Watch again. If you were with us last weekend and for the Knights of Chris Kendall, you saw a portrayal of the shepherds. And I asked Lee if he could take that little clip out and show us again today. I just felt when I watched that it just captured so much about something in the heart of a shepherd. It captured something about humility and the wonder and the frailty of who we are, but the wonder and the greatness of the story and the wonder of God. Watch this video. I noticed in that portrayal, the shepherd comes down and he kind of has a little bit of a trembling hand as he reaches out for the baby Jesus. And it made me think of how it is for us as we reach out to connect to an amazing God, and how each one of us have that opportunity to choose, to believe, and to reach out. There was incredible worship in the Christmas story. There was incredible praise. Glory to God in the highest. I think also of the role of Mary and what praise came from Mary. In the same gospel, the Gospel of Luke, you have this young lady who the angel had came and talked to, and she breaks out in a song. She breaks out in praise to God as she is dealing with how she senses and feels the wonder of the Christmas story. In Luke chapter 1, you go back to verse 46, and it says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble servant state of his servant. From now on, generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me.'" Mary called Mary's song. She magnifies the Lord. I think of what it's like in worship and praise when we magnify God. What does it mean that we are holding God in this place that causes him to become bigger and bigger? When we worship God, worship is to be an act of making God bigger for us and seeing him in the wonder and the glory and the majesty of an eternal, infinite, powerful God. How Mary magnified him and worshiped him and made him bigger. What a great way to think about praise, magnifying God. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. I also think about when you magnify something. If you use a magnifying glass or a telescope or a microscope, you bring closer and closer. So, closer and closer so that you can see it better. You can see the detail of it. You can see the completeness of something. And when we worship God, we're bringing him closer to us so that we can see him for who he is. It gives us a great clarity. Truly, Mary was focused on praise and worship, and she was so greatly blessed. The Christmas story gives us so many blessed things. They also give us something else, comfort and hope. Christmas Sunday is a great day to celebrate. And when I think about Christmas Sunday, I think about all the great things that we have to be thankful for and we celebrate. And there's so many things that come to my mind. The past year, I think of answers to prayer, and I think of a new child that's born. I think of an adoption in the summer. I think of my experiences with grandchildren and vacation Bible school and marriages and good things that happen in families, and that we do have so many things to be thankful for. But I'm also reminded that Jesus came to help us when we hurt and when we're broken. Jesus came to touch us when we have needs. Isaiah chapter 61. I want us to hear this morning this prophecy of Jesus. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord was upon me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve." Part of the Christmas story also is to know that God knows where we're at in the hard times too. Everything about the Christmas story is beautiful and marvelous, but also there's a part of the coming of Jesus that reminds us that he came to a broken world. He came to people that are hurting. He came to people that had needs. And though we celebrate and we laugh and we enjoy so many things, we also remember that in our family, in our church family, and in our lives, we also have difficult times. And Christmas for some people is more difficult than others, with sadness and loneliness. We've also, in our church family, lost loved ones during this past year. And I realized today when I was thinking about this Sunday that though most of the people that are here are going to be focused on the good and the wonder of Christmas, that there's also going to be people that are here that are hurting. And we want to say today how God cares so deeply about every one of us. And Jesus came to help us and to touch us. Tim shared a story with me right before the service, and I said, Tim, that really fits kind of what I want to say when I get to this part of my message. And Tim told me of a family that just last week there was a farm accident, and the young man was killed in the farm accident. And I guess when the mother found him, he was still alive and conscious, and she was able to talk to him, and she sang a verse of, you said it was Silent Night, Tim, to him. Is that right? And just in his last moments, he heard his mother sing the words of Silent Night. And I'm thinking, what a sad story. What a heartbreaking time for them. But at the same time, what truth and power, the presence of God, and that God is with us for all of eternity. And he loves and he cares about every single one of us. Truly, God cares about us when we hurt, when we're lonely, when we go through hard times. And so if you're here this morning and you say, you know, Christmas is such a wonderful time for a lot of people, but I don't really feel that today. I just want to give you the hope and the promise that Jesus came to help us, to heal the brokenhearted. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Today, if you feel a heaviness, I want you to know there's a God in heaven, the same loving God that came in a manger, that loves and cares deeply about each one of you. And then one more Psalm 147, verse 3. It reminds me of the story of Jesus as he pulled Peter up out of the water when he was hurting, when he was broken, when it was a hard time. And I know today that there are some people that are here that are feeling this way. I just wanted to say to you before you go today that God loves you so much, and he cares about where you hurt. He cares about your loneliness. He cares about losing someone that some of you have this year. Some people have had a lot of good news this year, and some people have had some hard times, but I want you to know it's the same loving, powerful God who cares deeply about your life. And whether you're on the mountain or you're in the valley, the same amazing Jesus that came to the manger has come to meet your need and encourage you and help you today. So I pray that you will feel that no matter what's going on in your life, the comfort, the presence, the reality of an amazing God who came to be with us in our great times and in our sorrows. Jesus came to be with us. He is our Emmanuel, God with us. We worship him. We celebrate him. We give thanks for him today. We do have so much to be thankful for, but today we say thank you, God, that you're with us in every day and every part of the life, the Christmas story. Would you stand with me and would you sing that chorus that Debbie is playing right now? Oh, come, let us adore him. Adore him for who he is, the greatness and the wonder of a marvelous God. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you are a great and a mighty God, that you are a everlasting Father. You are a Prince of Peace. Lord God, you are a God worthy of our praise. I pray that Christmas would not just be a time of family and gifts and trees and decorations and shopping, but God, we would stop and realize how amazing you are and how amazing this beautiful story is for us to know the presence of God. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you bring us life, salvation. Thank you, God, that you're with us when things are going great. And God, also, I pray that we would feel it and sense it when things are not going as well, that we would know that Jesus is with us. I'm thinking of some hurting people today, some that can't be here this morning because of a fall recently, an accident, one that's in the hospital, Lord, and others that, Lord, have circumstances that are difficult. I pray that they would feel the wonder of Jesus at Christmas this year and all that they do, I pray. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the marvel of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, tonight at 5 o'clock, We're going Christmas caroling. We need a lot of help. We have a lot of people to go see. If you're able to join us from about 5 to 7, come and be here at the church at 5. Boy, we just like to go visit some of these people that can't go out. So if you're able to do that, maybe let me know if you can, and we'll see you at 5 o'clock. Christmas Eve service tomorrow night, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Thank you.